of God's presence when we were just singing that song. And some people might think, why is it that music and singing worship songs can bring us to that place? It's a mystery, but it works. Even with the Old Testament prophets, you know, they would actually get a musician and actually play, and it would help them get in tune with the Spirit. And we are talking about the Holy Spirit today in Thessalonians. And being a good Celt, they had their own spirituality, didn't they? There was a whole sort of Christian move within the Celtic nations. And they had this thing that they talked about. They talked about thin places. They talked about thin places. And where it was, where they felt there were certain places where the spiritual realm was very, very close to the material realm, and that you could almost just break through in to the things of the Spirit and really touch the Spirit of God. And I wouldn't want to take that too far in the sense of going to certain places. Some people feel that it's very important to go to certain sites and pray. But what I want to tell you is, even in your own experience, you can create a thin place. And I've just come back from River Camp, saw Nick there. I just had a day at River Camp, just getting a bit of the experience there. And a guy called Jared Cooper, he's often on UCB, was speaking. And he was just talking about, you know, that sometimes that thin film that sometimes is just there. And you just, if you just press through, you can actually press into the things of the Spirit and really get touched by God in a way that you haven't been before. And that doesn't mean you haven't got the Spirit, but the Spirit's everywhere, isn't it? And it's amazing. I just want to encourage you to be thirsty for God and thirsty for His Spirit, because guess what? It's the Spirit and the Word that makes you grow. You know, and a guy called Smith Wigglesworth, some of you may have read some of his books, bit of a character, maybe not everybody would agree with him, but he prophesied many, many years ago that the churches in Great Britain would take off when the churches of the Word joined the churches of the Spirit. They came together and there would be a great move of God. And that's happening. You know, we don't see, you know, we look around and some of the places that we look, we don't see much going on, but God is moving in our nation. People are getting touched, people are getting healed. And in this church too, God wants to do something wonderful. He wants us to break through into His presence. Let's really pray that God will do something wonderful. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good, eh? Good, good stuff. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 28. The title of our message today is The Gospel Lived, The Spirit, and Completion. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. First thing I want to talk about is, don't put out the Spirit's fire. We need some fire. I need some fire. If this past year of being on Barton has told me anything, I'm not on fire enough. That's absolutely a fact. So it's not just about putting out the Spirit's fire, it's about actually stirring it up and stirring up the gifts of God that within us. And we all have gifts from God. No matter what you think, you're looking at somebody who had learning difficulties, used to have to be taken out of school to be taught things. Never would have dreamt that one day I might stand before you, but that's the things that the Spirit does. It's not me. I've just sought to try to be obedient, and sometimes I haven't been that obedient. And we have to keep realigning ourselves with God's plans and purposes for our lives. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The one way to put out the Spirit's fire is to treat the things of the Spirit with contempt. And sadly, some Christians do that. Whenever and I know you get these over-the-top Pentecostals, and maybe I'm one of them. But, you know, what's he doing here today? But some people, as soon as you start talking about things of the Spirit, as soon as you start talking about healing, or you talk about prophecy, or you talk about tongues, the lights go off. The blinds come down. They don't want anything to do with it. The Spirit is working, friends. And I am not a cessationist. I know that there's a lot of questions around healing, a lot of questions around certain things. But I tell you, some wonderful things happen when people actually believe that the Spirit of God wants to work. One way to put out the Spirit's fire is to treat the things of the Spirit with contempt. That's the feeling that a person or a thing is worthless or beneath consideration. Now, if I said that to you, is that how you feel about the Spirit? You say, oh no, I don't feel that way about the Spirit. You know, and I recognize he's a person. Well, be careful, because even I've done that, treated the things of the Spirit in a way that is not right. So if there's one way you want to put the Spirit's fire, it's to treat the things of the Spirit with contempt. And not only that, to forget that he's a person. The Spirit is a person, and the Scriptures describe him in many ways, but one of the ways which is particularly important to us is he's described as a dove. John 1:32. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and testified that this is the Son of God. If you're born again this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? It's great. You have the Spirit living within you. Now, how much you allow that Spirit to dictate how you live your life will determine how effective you live your Christian life. But we all have the Spirit. And then, of course, we see him as a dove, but then we see the Spirit's fire. But just before I go on to that, the reason why I mention about the dove is a dove is often seen as a very gentle creature. It's the sort of creature that is very faithful. We know, maybe if you know anything about doves, apparently they only mate with one partner for life. And there's stories about them when one of them have died, the other one just stays there and all that. But that sort of speaks of God and his faithfulness to us. But also, you can disturb them. You can by your behavior, you can chase it away. I want to create an atmosphere in my life that really is conducive for the Holy Spirit. I often think that one of the ways that I feel I've got to do that is I've got to be like, you know, when Jesus comes into the temple and decides that he wants to rearrange the furniture. You know, I just feel that God needs to do that in our lives sometimes, and we just need to submit to that and say, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, come and just make my life the sort of place that you want to be and do some great things in. It's all of him. It is all of him. And that's the great thing sometimes, is that we make it all about us. And if I'm right, and if I get this right, and you know, and if I speak better, and if I learn everything I need to learn, and everything. I'm not decrying, you must study the Word. It's in the Scriptures very clearly. But just recognize it's all of God. It's all God wants from you is your availability and your obedience. Amen? And then he'll use your gifts. He'll sanctify your gifts, your abilities, your mental abilities, your physical abilities. He'll sanctify them and he'll use them as you submit them to him. But then there's the Spirit's fire. Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. And that's Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If there was ever a day God's people need a baptism of fire, it's today. We're frightened to open our mouths about anything and everything, which is understandable. But if we are led by the Spirit, you see, you get the nutcases who shout and say things and they just stir things up and you think you're just making trouble for the body of Christ. But if you are speaking from the Spirit, it will make an impact. It may not always be received, but it will make an impact and it will bear fruit. And that's important for us to understand. We need that Holy Ghost boldness, friends, because the church is quieting down on a lot of things, because we feel the pressure that not have we got to tolerate things, we've got to accept things. And there's a difference. There's a level which, you know, I accept people and I accept certain members of my family who have totally opposite lifestyles to what a Christian lifestyle should be. I love that person. I accept them. They're part of my family. But I don't accept their behavior. You know, and that's a big thing. We've got to understand there's a big difference. But the world wants acceptance. They want us to accept it and to agree with it. That's the only standard they'll go by now. You have to agree. You have to be totally accepting that this is okay. Puts us under tremendous pressure. I need the Spirit's fire. I need the Spirit's ability to stand my ground. And after having done all things, stand. So do not put out the Spirit's fire, please, friends. In this day and age, you need the Spirit. You need, and I keep God keeps reminding me every day to say, Lord, just fill me with your Spirit. Guide me by your Spirit. Lord, just lead me and help me. And then number two, test everything. See, God puts protections in his word. You can read 1 Corinthians 14. But it tells you about testing prophecy. And that prophecy in the New Testament and in the church era is to be encouraging. And it's to challenge. And it can be foretelling as well, but you've got to test it. It's very clear. You can take your time to read that. So test everything. There's got to be quality control. Right? And I'm sure that some of you are really thinking, I'm glad he said that, you know, as good Baptists, we want order and we want things to work. It's there, friends. But don't use that as an excuse not to accept the things of the Spirit. Test them. Prophecy can come in many different ways. And there are prophets here. The gifts, this is the body of Christ. All the gifts are here. You need to encourage the prophet, but the prophet needs to know as well that it will be tested. Paul is not asking you to stop thinking. God has given you a brain that he wants you to use. Paul is not asking you to stop thinking. He's asking you to use your brain. He's asking you to test everything. That's the brain's work. And the only way that the brain will work really well in that area is if it's filled with God's word. Okay. Test it with the test instrument. The test instrument of prophecy is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Is this out of line with God's word? Is it in line with God's word? Is it encouraging? Does it challenge? Does it rebuke in a good way? See, rebuking in a good way builds up. It doesn't tear down. See, when somebody comes and actually brings it's a strong word, rebuke, but actually correction, if you like. It's to build up. It's not to tear down. And friends, we need that in the church. The instrument of prophecy, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God is the test instrument. Sometimes with your current knowledge of Scripture, you won't know straight away if a prophecy is good or not. Sometimes we get that gut feeling, but even then we might have to go away. And like the Bereans in the Scriptures, we have to go and look at the Scriptures to see if these things are so. We don't want to just put things out of straight away. Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. Wouldn't you like to think you've got noble character? Yeah? If you want noble character, be like the Bereans. Not like the Thessalonians, or poor Thessalonians. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. How important is God's word to you? How important is the Spirit of God? It was important to the Bereans. Every day. You're getting a bit of the word every day, friends. You're getting time in prayer every day. You're being like the Bereans. You might not always be testing things all the time, but at least getting the word of God into you. So important. And so we must take on board Paul's admonition to Timothy that all scriptures God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:15, one that you know very well. From infancy, Paul says to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. See, now, in a Pentecostal church, I'd be saying, come on, everybody say it. All Scripture. All Scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, I know sometimes parts of the Scripture can be challenging. I know even prayer life can be challenging. But you've got to get into it, because it produces great fruit. That type of prayer for biblical thinking enables good judgment to discern between what is good and evil, what is truth and what is error. So, the question is, when we have prophecy, this sounds very judgmental and it wouldn't be done like this, but what I've got here, did it pass or fail? Now, we all had the results, haven't we, for the exams? I hope you did all really do well, that everybody has done their exams. But did it pass or fail? See, if it passed, if you feel that it fits in with the Word of God, it fits in with where the church is at, or it fits in with your life, and somebody comes and says, I've got a word from you, or I've got a scripture that God's laid in my heart for you, and you test it, and you feel that it's right, and there's nothing wrong with it. If it passed, the Bible says here, hold on to it. Don't treat it with contempt. Hold on to it. If it failed, let it go. We have to be mature. So often we can get so offended sometimes when somebody comes and shares a word and we just don't really feel it was right and stuff like that, and we get all offended and stuff. We need to mature. And I include myself in that. Now, I know that some people just need to be corrected because they think they've got these gifts and things like that. There's protection there. That's why you've got the Word of God. Say that again, the type of prayer for biblical thinking enables good judgment to discern between what is good and evil. And so if it passes, hold on to it. Allow it to produce fruit. Allow it to dwell on it. If it failed, reject it. The question of things that are said but lacking anointing, the quickening of the Spirit. You know, if you're one of the ones that are having to make judgments on it, be gentle, encourage. We want to encourage the gifts. You know, sometimes somebody shares something. And that's why it's so often good to, if you've got something you want to share with somebody, you just gently say, I believe the Lord is saying this. And I just feel this is for you, but go away, just pray about it. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's a good way to do it. Good way to start. Be gentle, encourage, give guidance, particularly from the Scriptures. Avoid, it says here in the Scripture, avoid every kind of evil. Friends, we've got to be really careful in these days that we avoid every kind of evil. Deliver us from evil, the Scripture says. And friends, I'm not going to tie this too much into my sermon in the sense of what I've already flown, but what I want to say to you is, as Christians, I feel a lot of us, we are walking in the middle line, you know, in the middle of the road sometimes with a lot of things. And you know your own hearts. You know where those things might be. And God's saying, get on my side. Avoid. Don't try and play with the things of the world. Don't play with those things that you feel uncomfortable with, but you're drawn to. Make a stand and avoid it. Okay? It's really important these days that we make a stand and we really avoid things. We know in our hearts. This, I tell you what, every time I go against the Spirit, every time I go against the things I know that the Spirit is saying to me about stuff, and I allow my flesh to take me down that road, it ends in a bad place. It really does. And we need to listen to God and avoid every kind of evil. Goes on to say, God himself will cleanse you through and through. Because God is faithful, he who called you will do it. And the reason why he's saying that is that as you avoid every kind of evil and you allow God to cleanse you through the Holy Spirit, you will be blameless. The sanctifying, cleansing agents are the Holy Spirit and the Word. In Ephesians 5:25, it says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's one of the scriptures that I shared with both the lads who wanted to marry my daughters. I shared that with them. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I said, if you're prepared for that, you can marry my daughters. Both of them are going to, well, the other daughter is going to get married soon as well, but I gave that one to him as well. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. Making her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless. God wants to wash you through the word. And he uses the Holy Spirit, that's the word and the spirit that does that washing and enables you to be cleansed, enable you to walk upright before God. In 1 Peter 1:2, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that again is the cleansing work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. Again in Thessalonians, God chose you to be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit through belief in the truth. What is the truth? It's God's word. I've said it here before, and I will say it again. There is a battle on for the word of God. And whatever we say, even, you know, whatever we say, people are trying to rewrite it. Or trying to say that it only applied in certain situations. And people are not properly dividing the word of truth. They're not, as it were, breaking open properly. We have to, by faith, receive the word of God, the scriptures, as from God. It's so important we do that. If we do not, we undermine, because it's through the word and it's through the spirit that we are cleansed, that we are born again, that we have the assurance that we're going to heaven. And as I did here before when we did the Jenga, you start taking bits away or saying that isn't applicable today. Then what you begin to do is you begin to then undermine your very foundation to the point where people are losing their faith. They no longer believe. They get confused about things like, well, why does God allow suffering? And they're getting caught up in those type of things. Why is God doing that? And the thing is, they lose the fact that just because they can't understand that maybe, you know, when they think about suffering, they think, well, what about a God? He can't be that powerful, he allows suffering, or he can't be that good if he allows suffering. And it's all in their head, because if he's God, there might be a really great reason for suffering that we'll only know when we're in heaven. And the thing is, if we believe God's word, Jesus, God himself, came into a suffering world, was rejected, despised, beaten, hung on a cross, died in the most horrible death, and also experienced hell for us. So our God is not just up there saying suffering doesn't matter. He comes and takes part in our suffering. And we lose our heads. We're not thinking. We need to think. We need to remember what the word of God says. And Jesus Christ is a fact in history. There are 25,000 manuscripts about the scriptures. And there's nothing like it in the whole world like that. You can have faith in the word of God, even if you might not understand it. And why did God put all those genealogies in there? And why did he put this part in? I don't know. But there's enough of it that I understand that blesses my soul and creates a foundation for me to live a Christian life and believe in miracles and believe that God does things. We need to get hold of these things. Allow God to touch us and stir us up again. And it might not be our character. We might be quiet characters. Hey, God uses quiet characters. You don't need to be like me. I'm not like this normally. It's when I get up here and I start talking about God's word, I get like this. It's really... There was a time I'd never even speak to anybody. If you put me in a group, I wouldn't even open my mouth. But when I start talking about Jesus, something happens. I think it's the Spirit. It's up to you afterwards what you think. I believe that we need to hold on to these things of God. We need to hold on to the scriptures. We need to believe in the Spirit's power that rose Jesus from the dead and that he dwells in us and he quickens our physical bodies and he will use us in our world and there will be things that break our hearts. Yes, there's fake news. Yes, there's fake news. Yes, there's factual news 24 hours a day with all the sad things that are happening in our world. 300,000 made homeless in Kerala, in India. All sorts of things going on. But then there's the gospel. It's the good news. That's the good news. Because that's not the end of the story. The fake news is not the end of the story. The factual news is not the end of the story. Because if you read the scriptures, you will see that all the things that are happening in our world have already been written there, if you take the time to read it. The things are going to get more difficult. And the Bible says that the love of many will wax cold because of the increase of sin. Is your heart getting cold? Because you read the news, you think, God, where are you? Look at what's happening in the world. And God's saying, look at the scriptures. I told you it was going to happen, but I'm coming again. I'm going to redeem this world. I'm going to take you to myself. Friends, if all the hope that we've got is what's going on in this world now, eventually, friends, it's even going to affect our nice, comfortable lives in this country. We need to understand and get hold of God. I need to get hold of God more. I look at what's happening in Barton and people on methadone and drugs and people who can't afford to live. And I feel, but all it needs, you know, friends, and I've seen it. All it needs is one or two to powerfully come to God and have their lives changed. And I tell you, that estate will be turned upside down. One or two people get touched in this church, get hold of the things of the Spirit. It's infectious. It'll go through this church. Did any of you get the word for today with Bob Gass? Sometimes he says some good things, and very often, a couple of times I've opened it just then, it's just really met my need. You know, I'm going to finish with this. But please don't, if this somehow cuts across some of the things I'm saying, don't lose the thought and the heart. God, I want more of you. I want to get into your word. I want to get as much out of your word as I can. I want to sense and experience your Spirit. But as I was preparing this message, I read Bob Gass's word for today. And he said this, basically, and this is a summary of what was said. Do not separate thinking from the Spirit as if they're two separate things. Say that again. Do not separate thinking from the Spirit as if they were two separate things. You must constantly contend with your soul, which comprises of your emotions, will, and intellect. You must cope with the needs and appetites of your physical body, obviously. But you must realize your flesh is at odds with God, and that's putting it mildly. When the things of God and the things of our flesh, our bodies, this life, are in contention with God. And that's pretty mild. When you follow its desires, without it being checked and guided by God, it leads you to the wrong place every time. It needs to be disciplined and made subject to your born-again spirit that is united to God's Spirit when you were born again. It needs to be disciplined and made subject to your born-again spirit that is united to God's Spirit when you were born again. God dwells in you. Amen? He is in you. Your spirit and his spirit are one. Bob Gass's view is that your soul is caught between the two, and the one you feed the most dictates to the soul. If you feed the things of the Spirit into your life more than you feed fake news, news, video games, films, and I love films, all that stuff. But if you are filling yourself, feeding yourself on the Word of God. Some of the old Pentecostals used to talk about the Indian story about the guy who said, I've got two dogs fighting inside me. I have this fear, and there's two dogs. One's black and one's white, and there's this fight going on. And then the wise person said, well, which dog wins? And he said, the one that I feed the most. What are you feeding? What are you feeding the most? Reprogram yourself by the word of God, Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to make sure the balance in your life is weighed in God and the things of the Spirit and the word and fellowship. It needs to be weighed that way, and the things of the world need to be not as gravitas, if you like. They need to be, those things of God need to be the predominant things in your life. If you want to stand tall, if you want to be victorious in Christ, it has to be that way. So many people think that they can run with the world and have it the other way, where it's weighted in the world's favor, and then they wonder why that they are just food for the enemy. You have to feed your mind on the Word of God and the things of God. Reprogram yourself. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Victorious Christian living will happen. Galatians 5:22 will happen. If you do that, there will be the fruit of the Spirit. As this happens, you start to realize your regenerated spirit is living in an unregenerated body, and you begin to understand why you have those difficulties, and you begin to realize that this unregenerated body can be put into subjection of God if you allow the Spirit to have control, because your life has been filled with the Word of God that the Spirit can use. He finally said this, "Pray, Lord, I am completely yours. Spirit, soul, and body." That's my prayer this morning. Lord, I want to be yours. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm declaring as the desire of my heart, I'm giving myself to you, body, soul, and spirit. I want to serve you. I want to be effective in this generation. Dave, could you bring just come up and lead us in some songs? You know, I might be talking to people, the majority here, that know that the Spirit of God dwells within them. They know that they're born again. But there might be somebody here who doesn't have that assurance. They don't know that when this life comes to an end, that they would spend eternity with God. They don't know that the things that they've done in this life have been completely forgiven through the work on the cross, and all they need to do is receive it and ask Jesus, that wonderful Son of God who came and died for them, to come into their life and forgive them and submit their life to him as their Lord and Savior. You can do that today. It's the first step of the rest of your Christian life. The first step is such a simple step, but it's the most powerful step. You might just be standing in the door, as it were, looking in on everything that's going on in here today. You're in the door. Step in. Ask Jesus into your life. Experience the fact that you will be born again of his God's Spirit. Dave's going to play for us and maybe share one or two things himself. But if anybody wants prayer this morning for anything, it could be just, Lord, fill me up with your Spirit. It could be, Lord, I'm struggling, help me, or help me with my prayer life. Help me in getting into the Word. It could be anything. It could be, Lord, save me. I want to become a Christian. I'm going to be down the front here. I don't know if any of the prayer team would want to join me, but anybody can come now. We're not going to press it, and I'm just going to pray gently for people, pray that God will just touch them and bless them. But God's here. Amen? Amen. Thanks, Dave.